Good evening, everyone. Good evening to the people on the Dome Land. So, it is such a privilege to preach the Word of God. So, Psalm 135, verse 4. So Psalm 145 is a hymn of praise that celebrates God's sovereignty, greatness, and faithfulness. It calls on God's people to worship him for his mighty acts in history. His superiority over false gods and his enduring love for Israel. The psalm draws on themes from other parts of scripture, including Exodus, Deuteronomy, and the earlier psalms, emphasizing God's power in creation and redemption. So Psalm 135, verse 4. For the Lord has chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure. So may God bless the reading of his word. Let's ask for the Lord's help. Father, we thank you this evening. We thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that you give us the Bible. So Father, we also thank you that you give us your Holy Spirit to teach us. So Father, we pray through your Holy Spirit, you will lead us, guide us, and help us. So Father, we thank you again. So as we commit this Bible study into your hands, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So tonight, we gather to reflect upon the nation of Israel, not merely as a geographic location or a people, but as a profound witness to God's eternal purposes. From Abraham's call in Genesis to prophetic visions of Revelation, Israel stands as a central theme in Scripture, demonstrating God's faithfulness, judgment, mercy, and glory. We will consider four aspects. Let me share my screen to you. Number one, the origin of Israel. Number two, Israel's past, glory, rebellion, and the dispersion. Number three, Israel's present, restoration, and the spiritual blindness. Number four, Israel's future, redemption, and the glory in God's plan.
Amen.
Through it all, may our hearts be stirred to worship the King of Glory, Jesus Christ, who is both the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Savior of all nations. So, number one, the origin of Israel, Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Israel's origin begins with God's sovereign choice of Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. So Abraham, formerly Abram, was called out of Ur of the Chaldees to journey to a land he did not know. By faith, Abraham obeyed, making the inception of the people who God would call his own. So, the Abrahamic covenant, Genesis chapter 15, Genesis chapter 15, verse 18. Genesis chapter 15, verse 18. God's covenant with Abraham includes land. Genesis chapter 15, verse 18. In the same day of the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this, what? This land. From the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. So Genesis chapter 17, verse 7. Genesis chapter 17, verse 7. So Genesis chapter 17, verse 7 to 8. God's covenant with Abraham include the land, descendants, and the blessing. Genesis 17, 7 to 8. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in the generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. Verse 8, and I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be the God. This covenant was unconditional and everlasting. The 12 tribe. So Genesis chapter 35. Genesis 35 verse 10 to 12. Genesis chapter 35 verse 10 to 12. Through Isaac and Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. Genesis chapter 35 verse 10. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel should be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and the kings shall come out of thy loins. And verse 12, and the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. So Genesis chapter 49, verse 28. Genesis chapter 49, verse 28. So, all these are the 12 tribes of Israel. So through Isaac and Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel were established. Chosen not for merit. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7 to 11. Deuteronomy 7, chapter 7, verse 7 to 11. Israel was chosen not because of greatness or righteousness, but because of God's love and the promise. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7 to 11. 7. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, has the Lord brought you out with mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Verse 9 says, Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to a thousand generations, and repays them that hate him to their face. To destroy them, he will not be slack to him that hates him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statute and the judgments which I command thee this day to them. So God's choice of Israel was not due to their size and strength, but because of his love and his covenant with their forefathers. The Lord demonstrated his faithfulness by delivering them from Egypt with great power. It declares that God is faithful, keeping his covenant and showing mercy to those who love him and obey his commandments across generations. At the same time, he brings judgment upon those who hate him. Therefore, Israel is urged to faithfully observe God's commandments, statutes, and judgments as an expression of loyalty and gratitude for his steadfast love and faithfulness. Number two, Israel's past. Glory, rebellion, and the dispersion. So, after God delivered Israel from Egypt through Moses, he gave them his law at Mount Sinai. Israel experienced seasons of triumph and tragedy. The kingdom of David and Solomon. Under King David, Jerusalem became the holy city, and King Solomon built the temple. Israel reached the zenith of its glory. The divided kingdom and the prophets. So after Solomon, Israel divided into the northern kingdom, Israel, and the southern kingdom, that is Judah. Prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel warned them of idolatry and the injustice. Exile and dispersion. Because of persistent rebellion, Israel faced judgment. The Assyrians conquered the north. Babylon conquered Judah and destroyed the temple. That is 586 BC. Yet God never utterly forsook them. Jeremiah chapter 30, Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 11. God never utterly forsook them. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 11. For I am with thee, says the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. God promises his presence and salvation for his people, assuring them that while other nations may be completely destroyed, Israel will not be. However, they will face measured correction for their sins. God's discipline is just, not to destroy, but to guide and preserve his chosen people according to his covenant. Even in judgment, God's covenant stood firm. Israel's past serves as a sobering testimony that privilege without obedience brings chastisement. Number three, Israel's present restoration and the spiritual blindness. After nearly 2,000 years, the modern state of Israel was reborn in 1948. This is no mere accident of history, but an unfolding of divine prophecy. The dry bones come alive. Ezekiel chapter 37. We will not be turning to Ezekiel chapter 37 this evening due to time. But I encourage you to read it on your own. It speaks powerfully about God's ability to restore life and hope where there seems to be none. So in Ezekiel chapter 37, Ezekiel saw a valley of dry bones restored to life, symbolizing Israel's national rebirth. Regathering from the nations. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 12. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 12. God promised to regather his people from all the earth. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 12. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Spiritual blindness. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. Where Israel is physically restored, many remain blind to the Lord Jesus as the Messiah. The Apostle Paul explains this mystery in Romans chapter 11, verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be coming in. Verse 26. And so all Israel shall be saved. And it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and they shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Verse 27, for this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. So although Israel is presently spiritually blind in part, this condition is temporary. When the full number of Gentiles has come in, all Israel shall be saved. As the scripture declares, the deliverer will come from Zion. Turning away ungodliness and fulfilling God's covenant by removing their sins. So as the body of Christ, we called to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I think our brother Jit just prayed for the peace of Jerusalem. Thank you. As Psalm 122 verse 6 instructs, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they shall prosper that love thee. We are also commissioned to proclaim the gospel to all people, both Jew and the Gentile, fulfilling the Great Commission and God's eternal plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. Number four, Israel's future, redemption, and the glory in God's plan. So Romans chapter 11, verse 26 says, "And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." So the climax of God's plan for Israel is yet to come. The Great Tribulation. So according to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, Matthew chapter 24, verse 15 to 28, Mark chapter 13, 14 to 23, and Luke chapter 21, verse 20 to 24, Israel will endure a time of unprecedented trouble, known as the Great Tribulation. Yet God will use it to bring about national repentance, the return of Jesus Christ. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4. So Jesus Christ will return and set his feet upon the Mount of Olives. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4, "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives." Verse 9, "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In the day shall there be one Lord, and his name one." The Lord Jesus Christ will defeat Israel's enemies and establish his millennial kingdom. The new covenant fulfilled. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. God will write his law upon Israel's heart. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and that they shall be to me a people." So the millennial kingdom and beyond. Israel will once again be preeminent among the nations. That is in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. So the temple will be rebuilt and the worship restored. That is in Ezekiel chapter 40 to 48. Ultimately, in the new heaven and the new earth, Israel and the church will dwell together in eternal fellowship with God. That's in Revelation chapter 21. So God's faithfulness demonstrated. The nation of Israel reveals to us the faithfulness of God. His promises are sure. His covenants are everlasting, though Israel has stumbled, it is not cast away. Let us hold fast on this truth.
Amen.
God keeps his word.
Amen.
God disciplines those he loves. God's plan is unfolding according to his perfect wisdom. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this evening. We thank you for your everlasting covenant and the revelation of your purpose through the nation of Israel. From Abraham's call to the promise of the redemption yet to come, we stand in awe of your sovereign hand. Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for the salvation of Israel. Open the eyes of those who remain in blindness, that they may behold the Messiah, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Help us as the church to walk in humility and holiness, remembering that we have been grafted in
Amen.
By grace. Bless your word today to every heart. Strengthen our faith as we await the glorious return of our Savior, and may all glory, honor, and praise be unto you, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, forever and ever. In the name of Jesus Christ, the King of glory, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, everyone.